The art of political compromise started early in America, as early as the Great Compromise of 1787, where the founders decided how many representatives each state should have in the new government. Today, "you gotta go along to get along" is a popular slogan in Washington, D.C. politics. But is compromise always a good thing? Is it ever a bad thing? Are there some things over which we should never compromise? A first-century church in Pergamum received a stern letter from Jesus, rebuking them for flirting with false teaching and compromising God's holy word. Examining the church today for any hint of compromise is a difficult but wise thing to do. Is there anything about your ministry that goes along to get along with the world? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Hello, and thanks for stopping by for today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Today, Ron returns to the book of Revelation and the letter written to the church of Pergamum. They had begun to compromise the word of God, and Jesus strongly admonished them. As you follow along today, see what similarities you may find between Pergamum and the church here in 21st century America. Come see us at somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now from Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron with part two of his Something Good Radio message, Pergamum, the Compromising Church.
One foot in the world, one foot in the church, and that foot in the world keeps leading to compromise, but you still want to call yourself a Christian. It doesn't work that way. The spiritual hokey pokey does not work. There are hard lines to draw anywhere. I don't want to draw the lines any harder than what the Bible draws. But for the sake of tolerance and the sake of acceptance and inclusiveness, you can't compromise what the Scripture says. The Pergamenes did. Jesus said, you know, some of you have given way to this teaching, the error of Balaam. The Pergamenes also accepted the teaching of the Nicolaitans. We've heard them before in the letter to the Ephesians. The Ephesians, who were applauded for hating the teaching of the Nicolaitans. They were false teachers. If the Pergamenes waded into worldliness and accepted the doctrine of Balaam, they also flirted with falsehood by embracing the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Neither was good. Now, how does Jesus fight false teachers and compromise? Well, let's go back to the flashback to the glorified Jesus. What picture did he bring to their attention? But of this Jesus from whose mouth comes a sharp, double-edged sword. He says, "With the sword of my mouth, I will come to them." Suggests a couple things. First of all, he has the first and the last say. You can compromise with the world and you can go along with the world, but this Jesus, he had the first say because his word is eternal. Been around for a long, long time, longer than you and I, longer than this whole world's been around. "Thy word is truth," Jesus said, and this is the eternal word of God. He had the first say. And he has the last say. Comes right out of his mouth, the word of God. It'll either slay you like a sword or heal you like a surgeon's scalpel. This word of God will. By the way, that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is exactly how we fight spiritual battles, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, where the Apostle Paul says, "After you clothe yourself with the armor of God, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And don't compromise that word. You compromise it, okay. Jesus will have he had the first say. He will have the last say. And it will align perfectly with the word he has given to us. Now, with that in mind, there are some rewards that Jesus talks about at the end of the letter, rewards for those who conquer compromise. Before I get to that, you know, sometimes as a pastor of a local church, I feel like the captain of a ship traveling through, you know, stormy cultural waters that can threaten to capsize a congregation. And the pressure from the culture today for a church to compromise has never been greater in my lifetime. Now, come on, go along to get along. That's the spirit of the age. Hey, it works in politics, right? Go along to get along. And before you know, you are so many steps removed from what this good book says. And as that captain of a ship, so to speak, I'm reminded of two things when the cultural waters get choppy and the pressure comes. Number one, Jesus is our safe harbor. And number two, this book called the Bible is our navigation system. And you don't want to toss either of them over ship. You want to stay true to Jesus and true to the navigation system. And if we do, he will take us to a safe harbor. He will take us to the safety of our heavenly destination. But if we compromise, if we jettison Jesus and we jettison his word, we will sink faster into an ocean with a hellish bottom to it. And it's where too many churches are going today. Where you can go, quite frankly, and hear a great power of positive thinking kind of message or a motivational message, but they never ask you to take your Bibles and turn to. This is our navigation system. And dare we become like the church at Pergamum and compromise the integrity of God's word just to get along, just to take the pressure off. I will tell you that as long as I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor here, we will not compromise the truth. We won't do that. It doesn't mean we need to be mean-spirited about the truth. We speak the truth in love. We already established that back in week one. Speak the truth in love. You can have great doctrine, believe all the right things, and there's a hard edge to you. That was the church at Ephesus. Let's not make that mistake. But you can become so loving and so accepting and so inclusive, you haven't got any convictions that are biblical. And in the area of sexual ethics, which are being pushed to the limit today, and you're called all kinds of names if you say, no, men can't have babies. Come on now. Oh! Well, don't compromise. You don't have to be mean about it. But stand on the word that has the first and the last word and just see where all of this goes. Now, for those who conquer compromise, and I say it that way because every one of these letters has a concluding statement about those who conquer. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, right? And in the context of this letter to the church at Pergamum, the conquerors are those who refuse to compromise. They conquer compromise. And there are three eternal rewards that are mentioned in this letter that I think are fascinating and should encourage us to come together as a church family and stand strong, hold fast, and cling to Jesus and cling to the navigation system that he's given to us as we journey through these choppy and stormy cultural waters. Number one, the first reward he calls hidden manna. You see it in verse 17? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. He goes on to say, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. First, the hidden manna. Now, this is easy to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Your mind should immediately go back to the Old Testament and to the time when the Israelites came out of Egyptian slavery and they were wandering around in the wilderness and they were looking for some food, and the Lord provided them manna from heaven, a daily sustenance. And the Lord was faithful, was he not? Faithful to provide food and a daily sustenance to the Israelites for 40 years. The hidden manna might refer to that time when they built the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, they put some of the manna in the Ark. Indiana Jones is still looking for the Ark. And if you've seen it, let me know, all right? I am from Indiana, and I am Dr. Jones. I am Indiana Jones. Just saying. Just saying. The hidden manna. God has an extra special measure of his faithfulness. Now, he's faithful when we're not faithful, right? But he's especially faithful to those who compromise, or rather, who conquer compromise, who refuse to go along with the world just to get along with the world. And they say, no, this is what God says, and I'm sticking to it. The second reward is a white stone. Now, this one's a little bit more difficult to interpret because we don't have scripture to interpret scripture. We don't have another mention in the Bible of a white stone. And as you can imagine, interpreters are all over the map as to what this might mean. I think the best argument comes from the culture 2,000 years ago. Imagine you're a Pergamene hearing or reading this letter and you hear this mention of a white stone. You might immediately think about the Romans, who awarded white stones to the winners of athletic contests. So imagine you were running in the Olympics and you're running the 100-meter dash and you win. And one of the awards is you're handed a white stone and it has your name on it. And that stone becomes like a ticket you can use to enter a special awards banquet later in the evening, all right? That was on the front minds of people in the culture. That was a real common thing. It was kind of like Ticketmaster or something like that. But is Jesus not saying here, to those who conquer compromise, I'm going to invite you to a special gathering, a special awards ceremony, where I'm just going to say, way to go, way to go, and give you an eternal reward. Now, that white stone had a new name written on it. Interesting. And this is the third reward, a new name.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, so don't go away. Be sure to remember this web address, somethinggoodradio.org. That's the place to go to hear any of Ron's messages on demand. When you visit, check out our digital library, where you can search for answers to some of life's most challenging questions. Answers Ron has put together during his more than 30 years of teaching God's Word. You can also stream on demand, absolutely free. That's somethinggoodradio.org. How would you like to revolutionize your prayer life? If that intrigues you, contact us today and request your copy of Ron's full-length book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Join Ron as he guides you phrase by phrase through the power and beauty of the prayer that begins, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. That's The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now, for more on the dangers of moral and spiritual compromise, here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Pergamum, the Compromising Church.
Now, God loves to do new things, doesn't he? He's always doing something new. I say he's doing something good, something new at the same time. And it's not beyond him, as you read through the scriptures, to give somebody a new name, a name that maybe better reflected the refined character they were going to experience, or a redefined relationship with the Lord, or maybe had something to do with the new future that God envisioned for them. I think of Abram, who became Abraham. I think of Jacob, who became Israel. In the New Testament, Jesus met a fisherman named Simon. He called him Peter, okay? And all of that is a reminder that, you know, God can call us what he wants to call us. He names us intentionally. And here, to those who conquer compromise, who don't give way to the drift in the culture away from biblical truth, he says, I'm gonna give you a white stone and invite you to this wonderful awards ceremony. And I'm going to give you a new name, a name that only you know. Now, presumably God knows too, right? Because he gave the name. Which means there's a circle of intimacy and fellowship between you and God that only the two of you know. I remember years ago when I first came here, someone on the staff overheard my wife call me Ronnie. Hey, Ronnie. I never heard the end of it until I put an end to it. Because they came, you know, into staff meetings and said, well, Ronnie. I looked at him and I said, only my wife and my mother call me Ronnie. Okay. You get the idea. You can call me Dr. Ronnie if you want, but not just Ronnie. No, I mean, people who are in a marriage relationship or a dating relationship or some other, you know, close fellowship, you have nicknames for each other, don't you? Nicknames that you only share with each other. It's not for, you know, public consumption. And I think this name has something to do with that. It's the way of the Lord saying, listen, a special fellowship is available to you because you did not compromise. You conquered compromise. A special faithfulness of me toward you is my favor, because you are a victor, and I'm going to favor you with an awards ceremony. Such beautiful expressions of the Lord's reward to, well, guys like Antipas, who was a faithful witness. He felt the cultural pressure just as much as everybody else did, but he didn't cave to the pressure. He didn't weaken his stance just to go along, to get along, and just to be a part of all the invitations, to be liked. You know, this kind of pressure really starts in middle school and high school, doesn't it, young people? You'll feel the pressure to compromise. And if you don't get a hold of it now and make some decisions about where you stand, you'll be a compromiser the rest of your life. Some of you have maybe been compromising all your life. Oh, you can take a stand and name the name of Jesus inside the walls of a church. You get outside of here and you start feeling the pressure. And you're willing to compromise. You want that promotion more than you love Jesus? You'll compromise to get there. You'll go silent on Jesus. And maybe not stand up and say something when you should. I'm not saying that you be mean-spirited or ugly about things, but biblical ethics are biblical ethics. And the gospel is the gospel. And Jesus is the only way, amen, the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You don't have to apologize about that. You just have to stand for it. And when you do, when you conquer compromise, there are some eternal rewards waiting for you and waiting for me. Listen, we're getting ready for his return. Jesus is coming soon. It's promised all over scriptures, and you can count on it. Now is the time for us to examine ourselves, and ask the Holy Spirit to examine us and say, is there any hint of compromise in us? Are we wading into worldliness? Are we flirting with falsehood in any way, shape, or form? The word Jesus used is repent. Repent, or I will bring the sharp two-edged sword. I have the first word, and I have the last word on this. Some say, oh, we need to be on the right side of history about some of these cultural matters. Listen, you can be on the right side of history and on the wrong side of Scripture. It's better to be on the right side of Scripture. And the only way you'll know is to know the Word of God well, enough to when compromise is right in front of you, and maybe you don't realize it, but your antenna go up because now you know the Word of God well enough to say, no, I'm not going to cross that line, even for the sake of personal satisfaction, popularity, financial gain, whatever it might have been that drew Balaam in that direction, or because the spirit of the day is to go along and to get along, or else you're just kind of on the outside of things. No, let's be people who say, we're getting ready for his return, and my posture is to be as biblically full of integrity as I can in the way I live and interact in this world, do business in this world, raise my family in this world, just be a citizen of this world, but I'm a citizen of heaven first. And I'm getting ready for his return. May he find me faithful as he found Antipas and others who were faithful witnesses in Pergamum.
Thanks for being here for today's Something Good radio message, Pergamum, the Compromising Church. And I've got Ron in the studio with me. Pastor, it seems to me that the best reason to take such a strong stance against compromise is because of what is sure to happen if we don't. You make a compromise or two, and eventually, years or even decades later, you become Sodom and Gomorrah or ancient Greece.
That's exactly the way it goes, Brian. You know, it's true on the personal level as well as the national level. And the real scary part is how slowly and unnoticeably it can happen. I'm reminded of a great quote by C.S. Lewis, the 20th century Christian apologist and author. He said, "The safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." Lewis was right, and it's one of my favorite quotes of his, and it really gets to the heart of just how dangerous compromise can be. I think of it this way, Brian. A person or a nation takes one step away from the truth, just one step, one compromise, and you live there for a while, maybe months, maybe years. It becomes the new normal, as it were. So natural, so comfortable that when you take your next step away from the truth, you think that's all you're doing, taking one step. But in actuality, you're taking your second step away from the truth. Eventually, as in the case here in America and in other parts of the world, you're so far away from the truth, you can't see it clearly any longer. People are asking you to make one little compromise, to take just one little step away from the truth, and you've been duped into thinking that's all you're doing when the reality is you're now 20 steps away. It's dangerous, Brian, and quite frankly, it's scary. And that's why Jesus challenged the church at Pergamum on this, and we should do the same.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with a few words about the dangers of small compromises. They often lead to destruction. Ron, before we sign off, what can you tell us about the next message in your current series, Ready for His Return?
Well, Brian, if you've ever been house hunting, I'm sure you know this story. You see a house with great curb appeal, but a closer look reveals a few problems. And the home inspector finds even more problems, serious ones that not even you could see. Well, sometimes churches are that way, and they have beautiful buildings, uplifting music, and friendly people. But upon closer examination by Jesus, or let's just call him the home inspector, that same church might be corrupt. And such was the case with the church in Thyatira. It had moved away from right orthodoxy, which is about their belief system, which promoted a move away from proper orthopraxy, which is about behavior. Jesus had some strong words to say to them, words which I strongly believe we need to heed today.
Join us next time to hear what the Lord had to say as Dr. Ron Jones shares his message, Thyatira, the corrupt church. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.